بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We continue where we stopped in Al-Huzn. We said, just to recap, that Al-Huzn, as صاحب المنازل said, توجع لفائت وتأسف على ممتنع. He defined Huzn as توجع لفائت, to have sorrow and to have pain for something that passed, and sorry for something that did not happen or you expected to happen and it did not happen. We said that al-huzn, it is not one of the manazil. Yani the Muslim should be seeking to be sad or have sorrow. And everywhere in the Quran, yes, we explain, it was not praised. It actually was blameworthy. Now, but nevertheless, the Muslim huzn will come his way or her way. There is no doubt. Huzn is from the qadr that comes to you and then you repel it. He said also the huzn is three levels. The first, huznul amma, the huzn of the amma. وهو حزن على التفريط في الخدمة, the huzn for because of neglecting the service. والطوى على التورط في الجفاء, and to embroil yourself in جفاء, which is the distance, and to keep away and to keep distance. وعلى ضياع الأيام, and the waste of days. We move now to the second درجة. The second درجة is حزن أهل الإرادة, second class of people. حزن أهل الإرادة. أهل الإرادة are the people of will, meaning they always have strong will and high himma and aspiration to work. Why he called them أهل الإرادة? Because remember, no success comes without a will. No action comes without a will. And if you don't have will, there is no action. And the people who are considered achievers, they have a very strong will that breaks the stones and break mountains. He said here, وَهُوَ حُزْنٌ عَلَىٰ تَعَلُّقِ الْقَلْبِ بِالتَّفْرِقَةِ وَعَلَىٰ اشْتِغَالِ النَّفْسِ عَنِ الشُّهُودِ وَعَلَىٰ التَّسَلِّي عَنِ الْحُزْنِ. The first part, وَهُوَ حُزْنٌ عَلَىٰ تَعَلُّقِ الْقَلْبِ بِالتَّفْرِقَةِ. نعم. He said, تعلق القلب بالتفرقة, your heart latches on to distribution or disbursement. What does it mean? Let's speak about the contrary. The contrary, which is جمعية القلب, to collect your heart, to bring about your heart, to focus it, to narrow the focus and concentrate it on one thing. That is what جمعية القلب. جمعية القلب, to bring it together to one thing. This جمعية القلب, to bring it together upon what? He said في الحضور مع الله, to be present with Allah. Arafat? Meaning, when the person, من أهل الإرادات, he will feel the sorrow when his heart is what? مشتت. His affair is all over the place. He does not know where his heart belongs to. Proportion here, proportion there, proportion there, proportion there. And he feels it. There is a conscious. Some people that have tashattut, but they don't have any consciousness for their tashattut. So he has conscious for his tashattut. It creates sorrow in his heart. You with me? And this is يعني the أهل الإرادات, a person whose usually his heart or her heart is focused on one thing, which is the pleasure of Allah, or here is higher than just the pleasure of Allah, al-hudur ma'allah. Your heart is present all the time with Allah. This is, this what I said, It cannot be explained. It has to be felt. It has to be felt. And sometimes many of us have felt it, but it's gone. But it did not have ever strong impact in our life for us to cause us huzn because we haven't felt it before. And this is here, هو عدم الجمعية في الحضور مع الله وتشتيت الخواطر في أودية المرادات. Deep. He said here, وتشتيت الخواطر. تشتيت الخواطر is the thoughts. The thoughts in your head becomes what? مشتت. مشتت, what is the best word in English? تشتيت الخواطر, when your thoughts are scattered all over the place. Huh? في أودية what? In the valleys of different wills. يعني you want this and you want that and you want that and you're working on this and you're working on that and you're working on that. So your إرادات are what? مشتتة. When your thoughts, see, before the إرادة, this is the human psyche. Before the إرادة, before you have the will to do something, you get what? The thought. You think about it. Then you will it. Type. When you will it, you are wondering how you can do it. So he's a person or she's a person that has lot of khawatir in his mind. But the khawatir, the thoughts did not stop there. There is another step for it. He or she wants to do it. She wants to do those actions. And he starts thinking and exerting the efforts of the mind to how to attain this iradat. And that makes your thoughts scattered away from the main point. And sometimes these khawatir are not in your hand. يعني كيف؟ يعني these khawatir are necessities of life. عرفت؟ You're studying at university. You're starting a business. It's part of your life. You cannot. That causes tashteet al-khatir away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one says you drop university or you drop your work or you drop advancement of life. But because you're spending so much time or your khawatir are working elsewhere where you want it to be, it causes you what? Sorrow. Araft? Because you could say to yourself, I could be, I'm reading this book. I could be in the book of Allah reflecting on certain verses. I could be sitting in my office, sitting in the masjid, sitting in this, getting a book and making my own summary of a book. I could be spending the night instead sitting, reading and writing. I could be in ibadah with Allah. Sah. That causes sorrow. Now, we're talking about people who are doing something that is could be considered as a need, which is work and studying. How about who people have tashtit al-khawatir in haram, or what Allah has forbidden, or tashtit al-khawatir in what? Yani his iradat is engaged in something that Allah does not like. Or someone, his iradat is in innovation, not in ibadat. And this is why al-bid'ah can be problematic. Why? Because you actually, your khatir and your irada is sitting in the wrong place. And it is instead of being this energy you have, instead of use it for what Allah wanted you to do, you're doing something that Allah does not want you to do. Instead of using it to lead you to the path to Allah, you're using it to a misguided path. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ صح. Here he said, وَهُوَ عَدَمُ الْجَمْعِيَّةِ فِي الْحُضُورِ مَعِ اللَّهِ, which is تعلق القلب بالتفرقة وتشتيت الخواطر في أودية المرادات. The second limb of it here. وعلى اشتغال النفس عن الشهود. And another element from the sorrow of أهل الإرادات occupying the nafs away from the shuhud. Naam. What is the shuhud? Of course, we explained the shuhud is what? What did we explain it? I want to quiz you. What did we explain the shuhud? We explained that the shuhud, according to some, not all the Sufiya, is to witness the presence of Allah. And sometimes that I mean the physical presence of Allah. We said also the shuhud is to see Allah in everything. And here it can have a negative meaning, a wrong meaning, yani to see the Allah Himself as an omnipresent, which is wal-iyadu billah, this is not the intention. Or the shuhud of Allah, meaning, as the brother said, the action that is happening or whatever is going, you see the power of Allah in it. And you see Allah in everything that you do. You see Allah in everything that you do. And that is why here the Imam said, اشتغالها عن الشهود ليش? Why you cannot, this level where you see the work of Allah, you see the power of Allah, you see the might of Allah in everything, in every aspect, in every breath you take. How? He said, why you turn away from the shuhud? He said, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, لضعف الذكر أو ضعف القلب عن الشهود. Comes from two reasons. Weakness of remembrance of Allah. Because if you forget about Allah, then how are you going to have shuhud? And here what we mean, you've forgotten about Allah, it does not mean you've forgotten totally. No, it's heedlessness. You just, and we all fall into this sometimes. We're heedless, we get occupied with work, with whatever. We forget about Allah. We're talking about to witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you always have dhikr of Allah, Allah is witness all the time in your life. Naam. And Allah is present every time in your life. أو لضعف القلب, or the weakness of the heart, أو لمانع آخر, he said, or any other prevention. He said, ولكن إذا قهر الشهود النفس لم تتمكن من التشاغل عنه إلا بقاهر يقهرها عنه. Listen to what the Imam said, something beautiful. He said, but if the shuhud oppresses and defeats the nafs, then the nafs will follow the shuhud and remain hostage to the shuhud, and nothing will turn it away except some foreign elements come and occupies it or forces it to turn away from the shuhud. Otherwise, if the nafs already has been defeated by the shuhud, the nafs will always submit itself to the shuhud. Meaning, you always found yourself witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, in everything that you do. He said, وَأَمَّا التَّسَلِّي عَنِ الْحُزُنِ. Now, التَّسَلِّي عَنِ الْحُزُنِ is to find something that occupy you away from sorrow. Here, التَّسَلِّي عَنِ الْحُزُنِ, remember, the sorrow. Of course, the sorrow can, if it is sorrow that is to do with matters of dunya, remember, we're talking about which type of sorrow that turns you away from Allah. Araft? A sorrow that is, but what are the causes? We're talking about the causes, which is when you turn away from Allah, like if we to put it all in a nutshell, when you turn away from Allah, you're missing out on things, it causes sorrow in your heart. True? Now, some people get huzun and sorrow and they're millionaires and they end up committing suicide. Some people get sorrow in their life and it causes them anxiety. Some people, things occupy their, failed school, failed at university. There was an article today, a Chinese student got 98 in his mathematics at university. He never went back home. He got scared. He never went back home because his parents going to beat him up. That was actually in the paper. He got 98 in mathematics. His parents expected 100%. So he ran away from home. He doesn't want to go back home. He ran away from home because it reflects a sorrow in his heart. And there is a sorrow. You have fear. Sorrow comes. Sometimes we're not talking about this type of sorrow that comes from matters of loss in dunya and anxiety of dunya. And usually, even with that type of sorrow and anxieties, the doctors, they will tell you, the psychologists and others, they will tell you, find something else to occupy you. go do a sport. When you have anxiety, go do a sport, go to the gym, go out with friends, you know, then think about it, and so on and so forth. This is exactly called التسلي عن الحزن. To find something that occupies you from huzn. That's what he's talking about. But what do we do here? He's talking about a huzn that emanates from what? From being away from Allah. Not huzn related to dunya things. Huh? That type of huzn that turns you, because you occupied yourself away from Allah. He said, التسلي عن الحزن. إذن, here he said, أما إذا اشتغل. Here he said, Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله, فيعني أن وجود الحزن في القلب دليل على الإرادة والطلب. ففقده والتسلي عنه نقص. Pay attention. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim, يعني, remember, here he said something. He said, that means there is حزن in the heart, which proves there is irada. Because if there is no huzn, there is no irada. Remember what we said? If there is no huzn, there is no irada. And that is why many of us, when we turn away from Allah, or things that occupy us away from Allah, we don't have huzn, because we don't have the will. Araft? Because we're not feeling that we're missing anything in our life. So why is... Actually, we find joy, because we are escaping the obligations. We are escaping the sunnah. So we find a joy. Like the kid when he runs away from home for a day or something, he finds a joy in that. Even though it's not good for him, he finds a joy that he does not have to do any of the obligations, any of the chores. He just... So here, but if you're a person of irada, that means what? You have huzn. He said, فَفَقْدُهُ وَالتَّسَلِّ عَنْهُ نَقْصِ. He said, when you get occupied away from the huzn, is naqs, is blameworthy and reduction. Why is that? Because that huzn is supposed to be cherished. Why? Because it motivates you to fix the problem. Remember the huzn we said, someone would ask this question, but you said last week that huzn is not something that is praiseworthy. It's something that is blameworthy. So, if it is blameworthy, we should occupy ourselves away from it. He's saying here, if you occupy yourself away from it and divert you away from Allah, this is blameworthy. This is naqs. But if the huzn there is maintained temporarily until you remove it and remedy the causes of huzn, then you should not occupy yourself away from that huzn. You understand now what he meant with tasalli, and why it's for you to occupy yourself, it's blameworthy? Because if you forget about the huzn, what would happen? Then you cannot remedy the problem to begin with. You need to remind yourself with it so you can what? Fix the problem, and then the huzn is gone. He said, أَمَّا إِذَا اشْتَغَلَ عَنِ الْحُزْنِ بِفَرَحٍ مَحْمُودٍ. As in that, when you are in that state and you have huzn, because there are things that are not fulfilled the way you want them, and something comes that gives you joy away from that huzn, وَهُوَ الْفَرَحُ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Farah of what? A blessing that comes from Allah. فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. عرفت? Some blessing that comes from Allah. وَرَحْمَتِهِ. And from His mercy. فَلَا مَعْنَى لِلْحُزْنِ عَلَى فَوَاتِ الْحُزْنِ. عرفت? There is no meaning for huzn, for missing out on huzn. You see, so what? In other words, what he's saying, if that huzn, something occurred, happens, that is good, and you feel the joy, you don't need to feel sorrow because you had that joy. No, this joy, it is comes from the blessing of Allah, so it doesn't mean to take you away from that. We finished this, the second Ahl al-Iradat. He said, وَلَيْسَتِ الْخَاصَّ مِنْ مَقَامِ الْحُزْنِ فِي شَيْءٍ لِأَنَّ الْحُزْنَ فَقْدٌ وَالْخَاصَّ أَهْلُ وِجْدَانٍ. Remember what we spoke about. We said always you'll find in the books of A'immat al-Sufiyya, and specifically also in this book, they divide people to how many categories? Three. The first category, al-amma, al-khassa. The second, the third is khassatul khassa. Here he skipped the khassa. He said ahlul iradat. طب ويا صاحب المنازل, you skip the khassa. He said, وليست الخاصة في من مقام الحزن في شيء. He said, the khassa, they're not part of maqam al-huzn, the station of huzn, for nothing. He said, لأن الحزن فقد. Because huzn is فقد, when you lose something. والخاصة أهل وجدان. الخاصة are people of discovering. Remember, you have the amma, they have huzn. But the khasa, because they're in the level between two. Remember, student of knowledge. People can be laymen, students, which is the khasa, ulama, khasatul khasa. The layman, when in relation to knowledge, they have huzn because of their act on ignorance and so on and so forth. The student, he does not have huzn. Why? Because he's continuously discovering. He's not missing out. But once you are alim and you had so much knowledge about certain aspect, and then somebody asks you about it and you find yourself you've forgotten that ilm, it causes what? Huzn. I'm using different parable. But when you're ahl al-khasa, a student, the knowledge is still fresh in your mind and you always discovering new ilm, and you're tasting the sweetness of new discoveries, so there is no huzn for you. Because you're a person of what? Discovery. You're not missing out on something. And you don't usually act upon, when you talib ilm, on ignorance. Because if you don't know, you ask. You know the means of attaining the ilm. You got the keys of ilm. Sah? The layman acts on jahl. So it causes him huzn. The alim gets huzn on forgetting some of the knowledge or not acting upon the knowledge he has. If he's an alim that fears Allah. But the one in the middle is neither any. He's a people of what? Wujdan. He's always discovering. So he's not huzn. And that's why he said, Al-Khasa, they don't have huzn. That's why he never mentioned them. He said, because there are people yet discovering stuff. As they go, they're discovering what? New ilm, new knowledge. He said here, وهذا إن أراد به أنه لا ينبغي لهم تعمد الحزن فصحيح وإن أراد به لا يعرض لهم الحزن فليس كذلك والحزن من لوازم الطبيعة ولكن ليس هو بمقام. Pay attention. Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله commented on what Shaykh al-Islam al-Harawi رحمه الله said. He said, and this is if al-Harawi رحمه الله intended with it to intend حزن, then he's correct. But if he intended that huzn never occurs to them or comes to them, it is not the case. Why? Because it's part of huzn is part of nature and necessities of life and nature. ولكن ليس هو بمقام. But it is not station for them. You see, and that's the truth. The huzn here he's talking about, he's saying huzn will occur to them because it's part of nature that huzn happens. Now. والدرجة الثالثة he said من الحزن التحزن للمعارضات دون الخواطر ومعارضات القصود واعتراضات الأحكام. سبحان الله. Here he said the first part of it, التحزن للمعارضات. التحزن is to seek حزن and تحزن. تحزن is to seek it. Naam. Lil mu'aradat. Mu'aradat, the best translation I found for contingent matters. Dun al khawatir. Yani, something comes and opposes your amal, but it is not a thought. We'll explain it. Let me. Yeah, he said, وليست هذه المعارضات من قبيل الخواطر. بل هي من قبيل الواردات الإلهية. شوف Here he said, this mu'aradat. Remember, al-khatir, the thought comes from who? From you. You think about something. He said, no, this is not what I mean. He said, this mu'aradat. Mu'aradat, something comes contingent or opposing or an obstacle. Haraft? To what? He said, this comes ilahiyya from Allah. It's divine. It is not khatir that you, it comes from you. This comes from Allah. فَلِذَٰلِكَ قَالَ دُونَ الْخَوَاطِرِ He said, and that's why he said, it's other than the khawatir. Here, what he means with mu'aradat, وَعِنْدَ الْقَوْمِ And according to them, هَذَا مِنْ آثَارِ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ وَاتِّصَالِ أَشَعَّةِ أَنْوَارِهَا بِالْقَلْبِ وَهُوَ الْمُسَمَّى عِنْدَهُمْ بِالتَّجَلِّي He said, and this is according to them, it is from the effects of the names and attributes of Allah and the connection of the ray of light that comes to the heart from Allah, and this is for them, according to them, التجلي, a moment of clarity, a moment of light, moment of connection. Now, so what does this mean, all of it? Because this can be still a little bit complicated. Yani, he said, what happens here? You have huzn. That comes from where? Mu'arada. You are on one path. You are on one path in ibadah or something that you are doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are at the level of happiness and satisfaction, and you're moving forward. Something happens, comes from Allah to you. You find it in your heart to do something else. Araft? And here when we say something, could be we're talking about type of ibadat. Yani you have reached a level in certain ibadat that it's yani the highest level. You have shuhud, you have a presence, you have tajalliyat, you have, you know, some extraordinary feelings. I know I'm talking on Mars. Yani, who does the, yani, how many people are like that? But there are people like that. That's why it's martaba for khassatul khassa. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires due to His names and attributes. Al-Hakim subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see something else. You for example, engage in ibadat, then you move to, for example, writing a book. In the deen. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Araft? And you see it, it is from the hikmah that Allah put inside His heart, in your heart. And a tajalli, moments, clarity with Allah, your heart has changed. It's not khatir. It's not something you want to do. It's something came to you, but you know it's from Allah. But it's taken you from something what? You already love. And accustomed to, and you're comfortable in, to a challenge that is totally foreign to you, but you find yourself, you didn't choose it, you were pushed into it. And you know it's not from the shaitan, you know this is from Allah because it's khair. More khair than what you're doing. But because you change this direction, what happens? It causes you what? Tahazzub. The khawatir are different. Remember, the khawatir, you are interested in it. You get the thoughts, because you're not going to the thoughts if you don't have interest. Araft? The other one is no interest, but you know Allah directed you this way. You can't explain it, you can't say it, but you know it's from Allah. And of course, how you know it's from Allah, not from the shaitan, because some brothers, you know, it's from the shaitan. Araft, they differentiate, it is khair in it. There is, you know, you can see it's a ibadah that is khair in it. There is no two, yani, لا يتناطح فيه عن زتان. There is no two sheep going to butt heads about it, or two goats going to butt heads about it. Something is clear, is better ibadah in it
for the sake of Allah. So it diverts you, and that is causes you what? Sorrow. You can go deeper in these examples, عرفت? But rather not to go.
ومعارضات القصود. Here he said, this معارضات القصود. معارضة, we know what is the معارضة, the opposition, the contingent matter that comes. He said, القصود is the aim. He said, فهي أصعب ما على القوم. It is one of the hardest matters to the people. Here when he means the قوم, meaning the عباد, the ones who are walking into that path. وفيه يظهر اضطرارهم إلى العلم فوق كل ضرورة.
And this, where علم becomes more important than any other necessities. We're moving. Walk with me with the Shaykh.
فإن القاصد يتحرى في سلوكه كله أحب الطرق إلى الله.
معارضات, you have here few actions, but you don't know what you choose from. That's from the azama of Islam, that you don't have one type of ibadah you can excel in. There are so many ibadat you can excel in. But which is the one that is right for you?
Mu'aradat al-qusud. This is where it comes. One mu'arid al-akhir.
And this is what? True sincere Muslims, this is when they find difficulty, and that's what he said. Of course, يعني, we don't want to bring you from the top that you are sitting on now, bring you to the level of the Shabab. Because if you bring you get depressed. You get real huzun. يعني, not comparing whether I should watch footy or go to a lesson or... No. We're talking about proper ibadat. Not whether I should go to the masjid or pray at home with my family. No, we're talking about proper ibadat. You know, ibadat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Should I fast or should I revise the Quran? Should I do Qiyamul Layl with Quran or do Qiyamul Layl with Ruku' or do Qiyamul Layl with Sujood? Or do you see? This is what you're choosing from. He said, the truthful person, he will seek what is the most beloved to Allah.
Why so? It is not what is most beloved to his nafs.
Because what your nafs love, you always find justification. But to be able to put your nafs aside and focus, that is something else. He said, فَإِنَّ الصَّادِقَ يَتَحَرَّى فِي سُلُوكِهِ كُلِّهِ أَحَبَّ الطُّرُقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ سَالِكٌ بِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ. Because he is salik, traveling with Allah, يعني Allah is on his side and towards Allah. فَيَعْتَرِضُهُ طَرِيقًا. He's giving you this image. Now there are two paths comes. He comes across two paths, two roads. He said, فَلَا يَدْرِي أَيُّهُمَا أَرْضَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ. So he comes to this path, he stands on this intersection. I know two of them will lead me to Allah. But which? The path that is more beloved to Allah. He said here, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يُحَكِّمُ الْعِلْمَ بِجَهْدِهِ اسْتِدْلَالًا. He said, some who take the knowledge as a judge and a dalil. فَإِنْ عَجَزَ تَقْلِيدًا. If he cannot due to ilm, then he follows what? Taqlid. He asks the scholars. This is where a lot of good brothers fail. Two, you don't have the ilm, you do taqlid. Not jump on the internet, you ask. Because the person on the internet, the sheikh, the YouTube video, the written fatwa has no soul. The written fatwa has no ruh. It cannot analyze your personality. It cannot analyze who you are. He said here,
فَإِنْ عَجَزَ عَنْهُمَا سَكَنَ يَنْتَظِرُ مَا يَحْكُمُ لَهُ بِهِ الْقَدَرِ.
He said, and if he could not get the ilm because he's not able, nor he can find someone to direct him, second, he waits to see what the Qadr will rule. And that is an important position between the anything that occurs, something you want an opinion about, to show you, Ikhwani, a lot of the times, Ikhwani,
things in your life, you either have a clear answer or you find taqleed al-ulama. But it takes a lot of tarbiyah into this. Or to wait until Allah shows you or the qadr shows. And that is where a lot of people become impatient. No. Has to be. Like this. Habibi, this is not a PlayStation game. You know, press the button and it comes on your television. There are things you have to wait for the qadr of Allah to rule and you act upon it. Or clarify things to you. Araft? A lot of things in life that comes sometimes require for you to hold and wait. Think. If you don't have the necessary ilm, you ask the ulama. If you can't find a alim, then you wait. But you don't, because any of the three, if you don't adhere to them, you're following the path of shaitan. He said here, وَيُخَلِّ بَاطِنَهُ مِنَ الْمَقَاصِدِ جُمْلَةِ. And he empties his inside from the maqasid, all the aims. All the aims. What he means here, that you remove it from your heart, عرفت, until Allah rules with it. So the shaitan doesn't come in that spot of need and divert you. He said, and some of them, from these people, مَن يُلْقِ الْكُلَّ عَلَى شَيْخِهِ. He will take the whole thing and he dump it on his shaykh. إِنْ كَانَ لَهُ شَيْخِ. Yani if he respects a shaykh and he has a shaykh, he takes it and dump it on his shaykh if he trusts him. You see, so otherwise the shaitan will mislead you. He said, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَلْجَأُ إِلَى الْإِسْتِخَارَةِ وَالدُّعَاءِ. And he said, some, if there is no shaykh, you will turn to istikhara and a dua, ثُمَّ يَنْتَظِرْ. مَسْ إِسْتِخَارَ and dua. No, yantazir waits until the qadr reveals something for him. He said, وَلِتَرْجِيحِ الْمَصَالِحِ. And to have tarjih, outweigh different benefits. رُتَبٌ مُتَفَاوِتَ, different levels. فَتَارَ تَتَرَجَّحُ بِعُمُومِ النَّفْعِ. And sometimes, as you see, what is more beneficial to the ummah and to your nafs. وَتَارَةً بِزِيَادَةِ الْإِيمَانِ. And sometimes by the increase of iman. وَتَارَةً تَتَرَجَّحُ بِمَخَالَفَةِ النَّفْسِ. And sometimes you see what opposes the nafs. وَتَارَةً تَتَرَجَّحُ بِاسْتِجْلَابِ مَصْلَحَةٍ أُخْرَى لَا تَحْصُلُ مِنْ غَيْرِهَا. Sometimes تترجح, what is a decision over another decision. Here he said, by seeking a benefit that it cannot be seeked except in this path. أن وتارة تترجح بأمنها من الخوف من مفسدة لا تؤمن من غيرها. He said, and sometimes, what outweighs it is to secure it from a fear of a problem that you're going to cause or it's going to cause into your life. لا تؤمن في غيرها. You cannot seek it somewhere else. So what he is trying to say, he said, when you have in these two roads and they are in front of you, you look. What is more beneficial to Ummat Muhammad? What is beneficial for me? That could be a factor in making a decision. Sometimes an increase of iman. Sometimes what is opposing to my nafs? I know this is more beloved to Allah than this path, but this path is hard on my nafs. But I'm going to defeat my nafs. You see? And sometimes he said, بِاسْتِجْلَابِ مَصْلَحَ. Yani I know this path is more beneficial than this path that I take it. And sometimes, if I take this path, it's safer than taking the other path. So he said, there are many reasons why you choose a path over another. The third and last limb, he said, rahimahullah, amma atiradatul ahkam, opposing the ahkam, he said, فَيَجُوزُ أَن يُرِيدَ نَعَمْ بِالْأَحْكَامِ الْأَحْكَامِ الْكَوْنِيَّ وَهُوَ أَظْهَرْ نَعَمْ. He said, as for contingent or opposing matter in ahkam, he said, it is possible that the shaykh intend the ahkam al-kawniyya. There are ahkam kawniyya and ahkam shariyya. Ahkam kawniyya is Allah, when he ordains something, there is no running away from it. Here, death is hukum kawni. Birth is hukum kawni. You were born, it wasn't in your hand. Hukum shari is what? Salat is obligation. That's hukum shari. He said,
This is most likely to be الأحكام الكونية, because الأحكام الشرعية are in your hand. And for a matter to become contingent at that level, it has to be an external matter. It's not in your hand. To become something opposing, he said, فإن أرباب الأحوال يقع منهم اعتراضات على الأحكام الجارية عليهم بخلاف ما يريدونها يريدونه. He said, the men, the chiefs of الأحوال, the people of أحوال, like هم أهل السلوك والتصوف, this, he said, اعتراضات comes from them, from the أحكام الكونية, different than what they were, they wanted and they assume. They're doing عمل لله سبحانه وتعالى, something comes كوني and diverts them out of their hand. فيحزنون عند إدراكهم لترك الاعتراضات على ما صدر منهم من سوء الأدب. عجيب. You are engaged in ibadah and something really good. Alhamdulillah. You're so focused and you have reached a high level. Something comes kawni and diverts you away totally. Then you start to have resentment in your heart and huzn in your heart. And upset and anxiety because al-hukm al-kawni have diverted you. Then you realize that anxiety you have and that rejection and resentment you had in your heart for the hukm al-kawni, that is su adab, bad manners with Allah. You should have fully embraced it. It causes you huzn. So the huzn emanates from what? The bad manners with Allah, because you disliked his hukm al-kawni. Araft? You're so engaged in a ibadah and so fruitful and you focused, and then comes something from Allah, turns you away. You start to feel resentment, and that resentment sometimes is automatic. You can't control it. It just happens. Sah? And then you realize, hang on, I should not have this resentment for the will of Allah that he ordained. And then you start to have huzn about your su'il adab with Allah. And su'il adab comes from where? Because the resentment is su'il adab. وتلك الاعتراضات, and these اعتراادات هي إرادتهم خلاف ما جرى به القدر. And this اعتراضات is because they willed something different than what the قدر. قدر is what? It's a حكم كوني, صح? What the قدر wanted. Because they opposed the قدر with some resentment, they were not turned away, remember, from a dunya purpose. They were turned away from deen purpose. They start having some resentment, and that resentment what? It be interpreted to huzn. فَيَحْزَنُونَ عَلَىٰ عَدَمِ الْمُوَافَقَةِ. They feel sorrow because their irada did not come according to the qadar of Allah. See where the huzn? And this is khasatul khasa. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Next week we'll talk about the khawf, the second level, يعني in second level in this chapter, which is inshallah al-khawf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.